Dear Heavenly Father, as we open up your word, we want to hear you. We want to listen to your voice. We want to know what is it that you want us to do. So we ask once again, may your Holy Spirit speak to us, touch our minds, touch our hearts, and may we follow what you tell us, because we ask it in your name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask Troy to put an image on the screen. Does anybody recognize this image? It's called the Cyrus Cylinder. Cyrus Cylinder. And it's been in the news lately. Iran would like to have it come back to their country for 3 months. It's been in the British Museum for a long, long time, from the early 1900s. And recently it came out, and I said, I'm going to look at it and see if I can find what it means. And I learned a lot by going to Wikipedia and Googling it up. And it tells us that this cylinder was written by Cyrus, king of Persia, year 538 BC. And what it states in this cylinder is the following. It actually is like an edict, a treaty with the people of Babylon when he had conquered this city. And the three main premises in the decrees are the following: the political formulation of racial, linguistic, and religious equality. Slaves and all deported people, that included the people of Jerusalem, were to be allowed to return to their home. Amen? And all destroyed temples were to be restored. That included which temple? The Temple of Jerusalem. So some scholars look at this cylinder, at this text, and they see Cyrus promoting a form of religious tolerance and freedom. And as a result of his generous and humane policies, Cyrus gained the overwhelming support of all his subjects. Justice, a just system, is at the basis of any government or nation. Our country, our Constitution, our Bill of Rights give us freedoms like the freedom of speech, the freedom of religion, the freedom to gather together. And these freedoms are very dear to us. Even our Pledge of Allegiance toward the end says, liberty and justice for all. Doesn't matter what your gender is, what your race is, what your age is. Liberty and justice for all. And this has won the admiration of countries around the world. In fact, I was reading a website, and it had to do with the economy, MarketWatch, it's the website, and it had an article by someone who was saying that people continue to invest in the United States of America. Despite of the economic downturn, despite that the currency has gone down in price compared to other currencies around the world, compared to the metals, people continue to invest in us. And the reason this journalist gave was the following. He said, the nations around the world believe, trust, that America will do the right thing. I was shocked. The world around us still believe that we will do the right thing. We know it's not the case in other places. In fact, not too far away from us, there's a country where if you are the president of that country, it's a 6-year term, you cannot be prosecuted. And even thereafter, the law cannot do anything against you. Yes, throughout history there have been people who have been above the law. People who have taken advantage of their position. I didn't know, but during Sabbath school, they told me about diplomats in this country. We cannot prosecute them because they are bound to the laws of their country. So New York City has millions and millions of non-paid parking meters by diplomats. And there's no way we can get that money back. They are exempt. How does God see this? Do we believe in a just God who sees everybody in the same way? Amen. That is at the basis of his government, of his throne. But Amos tells us something that was happening in his time, in the nation of Israel. People there had thought that they were above the law. And they were practicing things that would put us to shame. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to open it to Amos, the book of Amos, chapter 5. Verse 7 tells us about those who turn justice into wormwood or bitterness and cast righteousness down to the earth. Verse 10, they hate him who reproves in the gate, and they abhor him who speaks with integrity. Verse 11, therefore, because you imposed heavy rent on the poor and exact a tribute of grain from them, though you have built houses of well-honed stone, yet you will not live in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, yet you will not drink their wine. Verse 12, for I know your transgressions are many and your sins are great. You who distress the righteous and accept bribes, and turn aside the poor in the gate. And then Amos adds this to the list. Therefore, at such a time, the prudent person keeps silent, for it is an evil time. Those were the times in which Amos was having to go around to speak to the leaders of the nation, both religious and political. It had come to that point where it was a dangerous job to be a lawyer. If you spoke up for somebody who was in need, somebody who needed help, somebody who was wronged and wanted justice, they could make you disappear. What Amos was doing was very dangerous. And maybe he also put this because of that, thinking, most people must think, I'm not very prudent. I'm not very wise for going up to the king, for going up to the priests, and telling them these things. There were very dangerous times. But Amos continues in chapter 5, sharing with the people the condition in which they found themselves. And if you go with me to verse 1, it says, hear this word, which I take up for you as a dirge, O house of Israel. In some of your versions, it says, as a lamentation. You see, in his times, when somebody passed away, people were hired to come and cry and sing these songs of lament. And here God was revealing to Amos, look, my people, they're as good as dead. They've fallen. Verse 2, she has fallen. She will not rise again. The virgin Israel, she lies neglected on her land. There is none to raise her up. There's other passages that describe this same setting. Verse 16 in the same chapter. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of hosts, the Lord, there is wailing in all the plazas and in all the streets. They say, alas, alas. In some versions, woe, woe. They also call the farmer to mourning and professional mourners to lamentation. And in all the vineyards, there is wailing because I shall pass through the midst of you, says the Lord. What was happening? The people had continued to be religious, but they forgot who they were worshiping. And in verse 21, this is what God says about their festivals, their worship service. I reject your festivals, nor do I delight in your solemn assemblies, even though you offer up to me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them. And I will not even look at the peace offerings of your fatlings. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not even listen to the sound of your harps. But verse 24 tells us, this is what God wants. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Amos chapter 8, verse 4 gives us a little more insight as to what was going on even on the Sabbath day. Hear this, you who trample the needy, to do away with the humble of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over, so that we may buy grain, and the Sabbath, that we may open the wheat market, to make the bushel smaller and the shekel bigger, and to cheat with dishonest scales, so as to buy the helpless for money, and the needy for a pair of sandals, and that we may sell the refuse of the wheat. But verse 7 tells us, the Lord has sworn by himself, by the pride of Jacob, indeed, I will never forget any of their deeds. There is a God who cares. Amen? There is a God who watches after the poor. Amen? And sometimes he will use his children to help others. Amen? We are in a church that cares about other people. I have seen it where we come together and we find ways of helping our brothers and sisters. We've come together to see how we can help our community through community service, through homeless ministries, through women's ministries, how we can ease the pain that is out there, that is existent. We hear people going to Haiti. Yes, to help those in need. Far away, people that they don't know. But these people need our help. So there is a God who cares and watches over the needy, over the poor. And Amos was letting the nation know, hey, God notices. God watches. Don't continue doing what you're doing. Repent. But what happens when we indulge in sin? Very soon we don't even see what we're doing. We can't see our own condition. Paul, in the New Testament, Romans chapter 2, talks about justice, talks about justification by faith. And if you have your Bibles, please open them up with me to Romans chapter 2. It's a big chapter. I'm not going to read it all. But I saw these points that Paul was trying to make in this passage where he talked about judges. Yes, he said, God is the judge and all will be judged, including the judges. I saw in this passage, God is patient and wants all to repent. Amen? I saw in this passage of Romans chapter 2, all will receive the deserved results according to their deeds. I saw in Romans chapter 2, there are only two results, pass or fail. I saw in Romans chapter 2, there is a law by which we will be judged. And there is a conscience by which all humanity will be judged. Yes, there is a God who notices, a God who cares. God revealed his plan to Amos. And we go back to Amos. He showed him who he was. And we saw a little bit of this last time we spoke about the book of Amos. And if you turn with me to Amos chapter 4, verse 13. A description of who he is. And he wanted the nation to remember. He wanted them to know. Amos chapter 4, verse 13. Talks about who God is. For behold, he who forms mountains and creates the wind and declares to man what are his thoughts, he who makes dawn into darkness and treads on the high places of the earth, the Lord God of hosts is his name. Amos chapter 5, verse 8, another description of God. He who made the Pleiades and Orion and changes deep darkness into morning, who also darkens day into night, who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out on the surface of the earth. The Lord is his name. And if we continue to Amos chapter 8, verse 9, and it says, and it will come about in that day, declares the Lord God, that I shall make the sun go down at noon. He has the power to make the sun go down at noon and make the earth dark in broad daylight. Amos chapter 9, verse 6. The one who builds his upper chambers in the heavens and has founded his vaulted dome over the earth. He who calls for the waters of the seas and pours them out on the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. Amen? Israel, listen. This is for reals. God is bringing judgment upon you because you have left the way. You have forgotten who he is. But God reveals himself also through visions. And Amos has three visions in chapter 7 that I would like to look a little bit closer. It's a revelation of who God is. Yes, he is majestic. Yes, he is strong. Yes, he's all-powerful. But he's a God who also cares about each person. And you know what's so funny or interesting or just makes you ponder for minutes and maybe hours is that this God is willing to listen to your counsel. Amen? He's willing to listen to this imperfect counsel. And this is what I saw in Amos chapter 7. Thus the Lord God showed me, and behold, he was forming a locust swarm when the spring crop began to sprout. And behold, the spring crop was after the king's mowing. There was a harvest, and they would gather the first harvest for the king. Verse 2, and it came about when it had finished eating the vegetation of the land that I said. So the locust came and just devoured the whole rest of the harvest. And this is what Amos said, Lord God, please pardon? How can Jacob stand? For he is small. The Lord changed his mind about this. What? Yes, the Lord repented. He said, okay, it will not be so. Then, verse 4, thus the Lord God showed me, and behold, the Lord God was calling to contend with them by fire. And he consumed the great deep. He consumed the ocean. Amos saw the ocean without a drop of water and began to consume the farmland. Then I said, Lord God, please stop. How can Jacob stand? For he is small. The Lord changed his mind about this. This too shall not be, said the Lord God. And finally, the Lord showed him another vision. Verse 7. Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord was standing by a vertical wall with a plumb line in his hand. Brother Ferguson, Brother Robinson, what is a plumb line? Why? What is that for? How do we use a plumb line? What does it show us? A straight vertical line. And if you put it against the wall, will it tell you if that wall is crooked or not? It's a reference point. And God was saying, I'm bringing a plumb line in the midst of my people. I want to see if they are straight, if they are just, if they're doing the right thing. And when God did this, the result is in verse 8 and 9. He said, I will spare them no longer. I will not pass over them again. The high places of Isaac will be desolated, and the sanctuaries of Israel laid waste. Then shall I rise up against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Mercy. I will destroy the sanctuaries. I will destroy the palaces. But you know, in all of God's justice, there's even more grace and mercy. Amen? In the middle of the book of Amos, if you go with me to Amos chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. This is at the middle of the chapter. But it's also exactly in the middle of the whole book. This is the central message of the book of Amos. Amos chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. And it says, seek good, Israel. Seek the good one. Seek God and not evil, that you may live. And thus may the Lord God of hosts be with you, just as you have said. Verse 15, hate evil. He inverses it. Hate the evil one. Love the good one, and establish justice in the gate. Perhaps the Lord God of hosts may be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. Amen? Here was a message of hope to the people of Israel. Yes, they were dead in their ways. They were dead in their trespasses. They were dead spiritually. But here Amos had a message saying, come back. Come back to God. He's a just God. He's also a forgiving God. Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah was also preaching down south, the city of Jerusalem, to the kings. They had also gone away. And Isaiah chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Tell us what Isaiah was telling them. Practically the same thing at the beginning of the book. He was saying, wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your deeds from my sight, cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, reprove the ruthless, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. That is the message God was telling Israel. I've been thinking about these books that we've been studying, the minor prophets. And as I read them, I say, God, we are supposed to be doing good. We are supposed to be seeking you at this time. For one, you loved us so much that you gave us your son. And how could we respond otherwise? We should go to you. But number two, there is a world who does expect the Seventh-day Adventist Church to do the right thing. There is. Yes, they know we keep the commandments of God. They know that that is at the foundation of our belief. And they expect us to show them the way, to show them what it means to do the right thing, to act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with our God. When Jesus came down to the same region, the region of Samaria, and we talked a little bit about this. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 4. And he was speaking to the Samaritan woman. And she had gone to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. And then the Samaritan woman therefore said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who is it who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would ask him, and he would have given you living waters." Amen? She said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with. All at the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle?" Verse 13, Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water shall thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." Amen? The water that Jesus gives to us springs up to water that goes and gives eternal life. Amos said, "Let justice roll down like a river. Let it flow from amongst God's people. Let it be seen. Let it be known that there is a God, a just God." When I was in San Diego, at a lecture series, and it was related to the Dead Sea Scrolls. They had come down there, and they had been there for almost 6 months. It's like the longest place the Dead Sea Scrolls have ever been. Usually they're at a museum outside of Israel for only 3 months, but they had 6 months. And the museum invited lecturers to come, and among one of these lecturers was James Sanders, and he was the one who had the privilege of opening the Psalm scroll. Imagine opening a 2,000-year-old document. That was painstaking. And he did this 50 years ago when there were no high-tech machines that could go through the paper and read what was there. He was using an iron and steam and just trying to open this leather scroll up and show what was there. It was very interesting. But at the end of the lecture, this was for me the most interesting thing. He said, "You know, what God revealed in his word in the Old Testament was something that was cutting edge, was something new. You see, nations around the world would have their laws, and they would say to their people, 'This is what you must do.' But the priests and the kings were always above the law." He said, Christians, you cannot understand God's grace if you do not understand His justice, His laws. You can't. Both of them are part of the foundation of His government, both justice and mercy. Even when Jesus came to this earth, how did He come, according to Paul? He came under the law. He came to fulfill it. He came seeking what was good. He came seeking what was lost. He came to show us the better way. He came to tell us, if we believe in Him, yes, justice can flow from within our hearts. Justice can flow from our homes. Justice can flow from our church. Justice can flow from our nation. Amen? We have a loving God, a merciful God, who invites you and me to seek good, to seek Him. Amen.